You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction.
It's the Rediscover the Road sales event. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final Hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan in studio the first time in 7 months. We don't know when we're going to be back in here again.
Yeah.
But that's all right. It's good to be in here. It's good to see people we haven't seen in a long time. Mullen's in here. Al's brother's here somewhere. I haven't seen him yet.
I had a good chat with Al's
there
brother.
There he is, Al's brother.
Al's brother last night.
I heard Al's brother's podcast is getting a lot of love because Noodles was spitting hot takes.
I don't know if I had any hot takes, but I think we had a pretty good chat. You know, half an hour worth, something like that.
There you go. How about that? Al's brother.
I don't know if anything came about of it, though, because he asked, like, what are the Leafs going to do? What is happening with the goalie market? Like, I was like, I don't know. I don't know what the hell's
Wayne
going
Simmons,
on.
Wayne Simmons, Jakob Markstrom, the Calgary.
Yeah.
You can find it all on Al's brother's podcast.
Exactly. Hot takes left and right.
Yeah. Did you realize, like, watching that Thursday night or last night, and I am not anti-Tom Brady. Like, I think he's the greatest quarterback of all time. I have been in awe of what he has done throughout his career. But I do think it's the end of the road. I do think he's actually going to slow down over the course of the season. A lot of people think it's going the opposite way. Like, he's going to get better and better and better.
People think he's heating up.
Yeah, I think, well, based on the fact that he's gaining familiarity with the team, he's still learning the system, no training camp, no preseason games. I don't think that works at 43.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think he's going to have ups and downs. I think they're probably a playoff team. But I don't think they're going to be 13-3 and he's going to dominate and win an MVP and look like Tom Brady of 3 or 4 years ago, let alone 10.
No.
But watching him get hit, watching him run last night, that doesn't help. And what I found even more astonishing about watching that game last night is the amount of pub that new AC/DC album was getting from Buck and Aikman on Fox. They must have taken out a mortgage payment to pay for all that publicity, because I swear, in and out of every break, they were bringing up this new AC/DC album, and I had no idea they were still making music.
Yeah,
like one of the brothers passed away a few years ago.
I mean, it's a form of the band. It's not the original band.
No,
but yeah, like when you see a lot of these old rockers come out with, listen, it's. It's cashing into the marketplace too, right? You understand, like, if Bon Jovi put out a new album today, I'd buy it. Just because Bon Jovi, Metallica, like, you know, the bands that have been around. You're a big Stones guy.
Yeah, I love the Stones.
If the Stones did something new, you'd hear it, wouldn't you?
I think I would check it out, but the Stones, and AC/DC isn't much further ahead of them, I guess, in terms of a timeline. Like, their best stuff was
back in the day,
like 60 years ago almost. Like, in reality, they had a 4-record run of just like phenomenal, like Beggar's Banquet, Exile on Main Street, Sticky Fingers. There were four albums back to back to back to back for the Stones from like 68 through 71, 72 that are just unbelievable,
right?
But that ended in 1972.
Yeah.
And AC/DC, the same thing. Like, when Bon Scott died, it was kind of like, what are they going to do here?
Right.
And then Brian Johnson, I think, took over. And they had a great run again throughout the 80s.
Right.
But I don't think they put anything out relevant, like, that's been relevant in terms of pop music for 20 years, 30 years.
I wonder if we should get into this maybe when O's back on. Well, O's not a big music guy. I'm also
He would claim he's never heard of AC/DC.
But what band would you be, doesn't matter, like, alive or dead, would you want a new album from? Like, for you, you know, Stones, like you say, 72, you know.
Like vintage? Like, you're talking, you got something where you're like, wow, that really sounds like them at their core.
That would jive with today's world.
I don't know if there is one for me. You know, it would have to be somewhat of a modern band. Like, I love Pearl Jam a lot, but Pearl Jam, the same thing. Like, they're not pumping out new material that really holds a lot of weight.
You're right. I go back, and I've got some Nirvana stuff, but the band was so awful and raw live where you're like...
Nirvana was?
Oh, if you watch Nirvana live, like Kurt Cobain, he's singing and he's in the wrong chords and clanking it off. But they're brilliant. Mull's way in here.
That's the whole part of it, though. Right. That's it like, that's garage their thing, band, right? Yeah.
But it was, like, I would love to see, you know, a Nirvana cleaned up, like, you know, polished.
I don't think it would be the same, though. You can't,
don't
I don't
so?
Think you can do that. That's a tough question, though.
It
Alive
is. Like,
or dead,
for me, it's
want?
Metallica. I'll take Metallica any day of the week because I just don't
yeah,
think.
Yeah, see, I've never connected with
pure,
Metallica.
Like, that's musicians.
Would you want a new Rage album?
Yes.
I think that's where I would go.
You know
go.
What messed, like, COVID obviously messed with everyone's lives. They messed with that Rage. There was a Rage reunion tour that I had tickets to.
Yeah, they were coming back.
They were coming through. They were coming through Canada, but there was tickets in Boston, and we had a kind of a boys' weekend planned around it.
Yes,
I was going to fly in and go see Rage.
I was never that big of a fan. Like, you're mentioning bands that would not even be on my radar. Metallica. I don't mind Metallica, but I don't love them. Rage Against the Machine, the same thing. And maybe I just don't know all their work. You know, I've heard the hits, and I've heard stuff that gets played at arenas and stuff like
right,
that.
Right, right.
But, yeah, it's an interesting question.
I just thought, I mean, there's, you go back revisionist history, I guess. Like, there's some great bands, but they were in that little pocket.
I guess the Beatles come to mind as well, even though, like, I love the Beatles, but I don't need to. I'm not one that's like, they're the greatest ever. Like, how dare you not think that?
Yeah.
You know, everyone can interpret music whichever way they choose to. I have to be in the mood for the Beatles. I'm not listening to that on a daily basis. But, it's like a handful of times a year.
But what it is, like, you know, Mulls has a musical background. Like, you talk to guitarists, like, you know, the Beatles, their music was very, very
it's
basic.
It's as basic as it basic, gets. Basic, it's a, right, 2 minutes and 20 seconds about holding hands.
It's about songwriting, not about technical skill.
But that's,
right.
You know, I was a Kiss fan for a long time, right?
And, but and they're
people
musical.
Like Ace Frehley was one of the worst guitarists. Yeah. Like, people write to me like,
Gene Simmons is terrible.
Yeah, like Gene. But I'll take it. I don't know why. I feel like I would take something. Maybe it's just a different look of what we get right
yeah,
now.
And maybe it's based on nostalgia. Like, that's like the Tragically Hip would come to mind, right?
Yeah.
You give me another, like, a high quality hip album that would match what they were pumping out in the 90s.
Yeah.
And I think that would resonate with a lot of people.
Yeah.
But the thing is with bands, I mean, with music in general, it's you cannot find consensus.
No.
Like, I'm not sure you can find 30% of the popular vote on music. I think you can with individual songs.
Yeah.
Like, you look at what's happening in pop culture right now, Dreams by Fleetwood Mac.
Right.
I think if you asked every person on earth, about 30% of people, maybe upwards of 50, would say that's a great song.
Yeah, yeah.
It should be 100%. You listen to that song, even if it's not in your wheelhouse, you're into country, you're classical, or
right,
a metalhead, you got to hear that song. You're like, Stevie Nicks is unreal.
Yeah.
It's got a great sound. But I still think there'd be 50% of the world that would say, that sucks. Like,
right,
I'm not into it and I don't want to hear it.
You want to talk about, like, all the divisive things in this world. Like, you know, politics, all that. Like,
oh, music is at the top of the list.
Because
music
not,
and comedy.
Yeah, like, I'm not a, like, I love music and I've been to, I'm not lying, over 100 concerts in my life. All different ranges. Twisted Sister, AC/DC, Van Halen, Metallica, The Clash. Like, seen all these bands. Genesis Live. I'm not as big a fan of rap music or hip-hop, you know, just not. I respect it, but it's just not my wheelhouse.
Right, so you'd hear stuff that other people, like, are you kidding me?
I've seen Snoop Dogg live. I thought he was awful.
Well, Snoop, yeah,
you know,
I mean,
there,
I can imagine Snoop wasn't you, as
like,
committed
was
to the show.
He was high as a kite, came out at 10:45 and left at 11.
Right.
And wait, I don't even know if he remembers being in Calgary. Like,
he
that's
might
the thing.
Not.
Like, but
I
it
respect
is.
That.
It
I
is.
Like that.
It is.
That's why I will always love Snoop because of the All-Star Game in L.A. when he was DJing the Friday night without censoring his own music.
Wow.
And Gary Bettman's head was ready to explode.
Yeah.
Here's Carlo Colaiacovo from First Up and TSN and his showroom, his show home.
It is, yeah, his guest house with open wiring over his left shoulder.
Your kitchen is taking more heat online. Explain yourself. What's going on over at your house?
I see my kitchen has been quite the hit.
Yes.
Well, what is going on in my house is I got cameraman Mark here, and we originally planned to set up outside, but I was like, you know what, screw this, come inside. Like, let's stay comfortable. So I brought him in my house. I originally wanted him to set up with my fish tank in the background. And he's like, no, I think it's too much because it's in a corner. Let's do the kitchen pose. So I was like, okay. Cleaning lady came yesterday. My wife cleaned up the kitchen. She put everything away that we normally have on the counter. And when I go sit down and do my first video hit, and I get people messaging me, come on, Carl, you got to cover up that plug, man. What's going on? So now I'm making the excuse. I'm like, oh, man, I just got called out. Because usually I have my rice cooker or my slow cooker on that spot because my wife uses it every night. And because we took it off the counter to make everything look a little bit more open, a little bit more cleaner, I forgot to cover it up. And so now I had to make the excuse that I'm in the middle of doing kitchen renovation.
Right, exactly. That's why it's a show home, man. Just pretend it's not even your house.
No, it is. It is a show home. But all fun and games, I had the cat man come at me, you know, taking shots at me, and my phone was blowing up. They're like, oh, dude, man, you need to fix up your kitchen. I'm like, people, relax, man. The thing about today, Hayes, like, you guys were in studio, but I had no idea when I was supposed to be on camera.
I know.
All of a sudden, it was like I was in the middle of doing a phone interview, and cameraman Mark calls me over, and he's like, Carlo, you're being called on. And I'm like, holy cow, I'm trying to scramble. I forget to do up my tie and forget what the background looks like. I got the TV volume in the back on. It was a scramble day, and to be honest with you, I am tapping out, bro. What a long day.
I can't believe you're still doing this, man. Like, you were up at 5:30 this morning. You did your own show. You were doing TV hits all day. You were on the lunch. You were doing radio spots. We've bothered you, so you're willing to do this.
Nah, man. For you guys, anything.
Well, we appreciate that. And I felt responsible for your scramble because, like, you were basically a part of my panel. But you know how these, like, TV, it looks great when it's on there, but behind the scenes, it's a gong show sometimes.
And you know, it's like, in hindsight, this John Tavares situation, let's take a look at this.
That was coming up. That wasn't planned. All of a sudden, it was like, hey, this is something we could maybe get into. But anyway,
it worked out.
It worked out. You've been crushing it, buddy. And you're somewhat of an insider here. I think everyone's waiting for you to break the Petrangelo news. And Indubis admitted that he's had a conversation with his agency, and Vegas is obviously been kicking tires, and we assume that St. Louis is lurking in the background. But what's your understanding of a timeline, and how do you see this all playing out?
Well, my understanding of a timeline is that he's going to take his time. You know, I think, you know, what Drager reported earlier in the day is true. He had conversations with teams like Vegas and Toronto. But here's a guy who's not really showing any emotion through it. I just got off the phone with him about an hour ago. And, you know, he was all happy-go-lucky. You know, I think the one thing that he expressed is how difficult of a day this has been because, you know, the process is different than normal. I think he really appreciates in years past the negotiating window, the five-day negotiating window, because you really give yourself enough time to have conversations with people that you want to talk to. Where on a day like today, you probably don't get to spend as much time with those teams. You don't get to do the face-to-face. You don't get to see the surroundings. You don't get to see the training facilities and stuff like that where teams do, you know, visits in cities. So I think that's one thing that he really touched on, that, you know, the weirdness of it. And, you know, right now, I don't think he's made up his mind as to what his decision is going to be. I think he's going to let this play out for at least the next day, maybe two. But, you know, I think he does have a tough decision to make at the end of the day. I think I would classify St. Louis is still being a team in the mix. Toronto, a strong possibility, and definitely Vegas, another possibility for him. So I don't want to dig too much because it's a decision he has to make on his own. I'm there as a friend just to listen and to try to guide him along through the process. But just when I last left with him, that there's still stuff going on right now in the process that he kind of just wants to let play out through the day. And I'm guessing I'll touch base with him later and see where things are at.
Carla, when you're looking at this scenario for a guy like Alex, and, you know, you're right, he doesn't get an opportunity to, you know, meet with these managers face-to-face and take a look at scenarios. Well, obviously, he knows what Toronto's all about, having, you know, grown up here.
Having family here.
Knowing the area, all of that. But, you know, the intriguing part for me, and Hayes and I were talking about this last hour, is, you know, if Vegas is a strong possibility, like, he's not going to Vegas to live on the Strip. Like, he's got to take a, you know, you have to learn more about the organization. You have to learn more about where to live, where your kids will go to school, that type of stuff. And it's not like he can jump on a private plane. I believe he can't. Is he in the States right now?
Living in St. Louis, yeah.
So, yeah, I guess you could go into Vegas if you wanted to and take a look at the scenario and see if that's a fit for your family. But I would argue that it's probably a very unique situation than past years, where when you are doing your due diligence, sometimes a guy just wants to lay eyes on it for themselves in real person, where now you're talking to people through Zoom calls and you know, it's not as personable as sitting across the table from people and really getting a sense if they're genuine or just giving you kind of the company line, I guess you call it.
Well, I think the most important thing in a process like this, Jamie, is it's not the player. The player knows what the city's about because he's gone there, he's played there, he stayed there. It's the family, right? Yeah. You want your wife to see what it's going to be like there, you know, the arena, the living space, you know, where the kids are going to go, what life is going to be like outside St. Louis, which is what she's been so used to, right? So I think more of a personal decision for Alex. This is going to be a family decision and a tough family decision because, you know, he married a girl from St. Louis. He's got four kids. And just, you know, I think the thought of picking up and going somewhere new excites them. But, you know, it's also concerning, too, because you get comfortable with what you really have. So that's why this process is more difficult than people give it credit for. Because it's not the player making the decision. It's the family making the decision. And when you're preparing yourself to pick up and move somewhere else, you know, that's where the challenge comes. And that's why, you know, I respect Alex for and every other guy that's got a family, you know, doing their due diligence on a potential life-changing move.
With Carlo Koliakovo from First Up, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on TSN Radio. Frank Saravalli just sent out a tweet detailing and comparing and contrasting the signings in 2020 compared to in 2019. And I don't think it will surprise people, the analytics here, and it doesn't mean that there aren't going to be some monster deals still signed. Mm-hmm. But back in 2019, through 6 p.m. each day, so the exact same timeline, 6 hours into free agency, albeit last year they had the period where you could speak with players and speak with teams leading up to free agency, which may have led to some of these deals happening. But through 6 hours last year in 2019, 197 signings, over $600 million signed.
Wow.
This year, 83 signings, $152 million.
Well,
and a lot of them are one-year deals.
Term, yeah.
Two-year deals. He's got 28 one-year deals, 17 two-year deals, 5 3-year deals, no 4 or 5-year deals, and 1 6-year deal. So these are the UFAs, not Matt Murray, who was an RFA and got acquired and signed in Ottawa. So no long-term deals, a lot of short-term deals, not a lot of money going around. I'm thinking if I'm a player, I'm on the phone with my agent saying, have we been reading the market properly, and do I need to get something done now? Like, do I need to take the money that is on the table? Because it clearly is a buyer's market, and I don't think the players, they can't be sitting there waiting for a ton of money, man. I don't think it's going to be there for them.
Well, at least if you're not, you're the top maybe 5 or 6 guys, definitely not going to be there for them. And Noodles, I heard you earlier on the show, you touched on Anthony DeClaire, and that's one guy that I really feel bad for right now because of the deal he potentially turned down in Ottawa. And I don't know what it is, but the rumor is it was a significant raise compared to what he was making. And here's a guy who decided to go to open market and try to negotiate his own deal. Like, if anything, you know, if the day one has taught you that the money is probably not there for these guys, you know, I've always felt sorry for the middle class guys in this process because you can see the hesitancy from teams when it comes to spending. Now, is that because they're hesitant to spend or they're waiting for the big guys to go because they might have, you know, a line in the water with each team to see how the dominoes fall, and then everybody else starts, you know, picking up the other pieces of what's available. Maybe that's how this plays out, the fact that the top guys are holding the market. But if I'm a guy in this market and I've got a deal on the table for me right now, I'm taking it just for the peace of mind, right? I think everybody understood the struggle economically that they were going to be facing going into this season, and you know, we're seeing a perfect example of it now. also, you know, you're right. He's the 5-day window, you know, helps allow free agency to accumulate that total, because these deals are all negotiated and talked about leading up to today. And I guess that's the difference. We're living in a COVID world with no negotiation window. This is what you get.
Yeah, I just, my thing, I'm still trying to figure out the marketplace.
Yeah, me
like
too.
Usually, I think in normal years, you kind of know, like we know what, we believe we know what Alex Pietrangelo is going to get paid. That's one guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like the best player available.
The best player available. Markstrom, like, you know, like,
yeah.
Other than that.
I don't know what Taylor Hall is going to make. I don't know what Torrey Crew is going to make. You're right, Noodles. Like, I don't know what the market is for these guys.
Well, look at what Ken Holland said earlier today, right? Like, he said, and he projected that the salary cap may be flat for upwards of 3 years.
Yeah.
And
maybe a fourth.
And maybe a fourth. And I got to believe that's a big battle right now. I got to believe the agents are saying, I think it's only a year or two. The teams are saying it's 3 or 4. So basically, this idea that we're going to pay you for the full scope of the contract, where we might have to take a hit in years 1 or 2, but it's going to be in a better position in years 3 and 4, that logic doesn't apply anymore.
No.
Right? It doesn't apply. No. Because if the cap is still where it is in 4 years and the player's going to decline in years 3 and 4, you can't be paying them the same money.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to have any flexibility.
Well, and I don't know if you saw that the structure of these deals, they're calling it the camel deal.
Yeah,
so
it's low and
then goes high when escrow is set at 6% instead of the 20%. So I think Markstrom, I just saw his deal come across where it's like $4 million in the first year. That's the same thing it was for Matt Murray. It goes 4, 6, 8, and back down to 6, because you want to get the most amount of money when escrow's at its lowest, and that's a couple of years from now. So that's another interesting part in the structure of these deals. And that's even if you get term. Like I don't know what the marketplace for a guy like TJ Brody, or we were talking earlier, what is Tyson Berry's marketplace?
Yeah.
You know, we don't know. I mean, I guarantee you there's two teams in on him, but those two teams may say, show me contract 2 years at 3.5 or $4 million a year or whatever.
Yeah, we'll give you a platform here.
Platform, and you get an opportunity. If it's Edmonton, to play with McDavid. If it's Winnipeg, you get to play with Line A and all of that stuff.
Yeah. And that'd be a shock to the system, man. If you were leading up to this moment, this is your big moment, your big payday, and you had visions of 7-8 year deals, $6-7 million a year, and your agent calls you up and goes, we have a couple of suitors. They're both offering a 2-year deal at 3.5.
Yeah.
Well, isn't Tyson Berry the perfect example of that?
Right.
He came to Toronto,
and based on his play,
eight
too.
Times eight.
Yeah.
It was 8x8 before he came to Toronto. And, you know, you talk about marketplace. I think Tyson Berry, you know, marketplace was set with Kevin Shattenkirk. What did he get? 3.7?
3.9? 3 something,
On what, a 3-year deal? Yeah. I think that's what Tyson Berry has to be looking at for whatever opportunity is out there for him. But you're right, guys. I mean, you talk about the way the deals are structured, and, you know, I want to revert this back to Alex Pietrangelo, because everybody was wondering why the deal in St. Louis isn't done. And, you know, the big word you hear all the time you talk about is structure, structure, structure. Well, now I think people are getting a better understanding of it, because you're seeing what guys are signing for and what's important to them. Not only do you want to get the contract, but you want to maximize the potential that you could possibly make out of that contract.
Right.
And if you're Alex Pietrangelo, you put yourself in this position to do so. And if St. Louis has an organizational philosophy that they don't do that, that shouldn't be Alex Pietrangelo's fault. He should still be allowed to go out and see if he can get the deal that he wants.
Agreed.
And, you know, where teams might get in trouble here is usually when you sign a guy to term, you worry about the back end of the deal. And usually the back end of the deal is paid out already, and it's high cap hit, low dollar. If a team has to move that guy now in the back end of the deal, where you're having more salary than the cap hit, those might be even tougher deals to move.
Yep. No kidding, man. It's all a part of this new era in the National Hockey League. So we'll see. It's going to play out all throughout the weekend.
You're back in the saddle, I'm assuming, on Monday at 6 a.m. And
we are all working Monday on Thanksgiving Day. Don't you
yes,
guys love
we
that?
Are.
Is that
oh,
Thanksgiving Monday?
Thanksgiving yeah. on Monday. Turkey dumps are happening as we speak, although you can't see anyone. You're getting turkey dumped over Zoom, so it doesn't break your heart as much. We're thinking of all the kids that are dealing with those problems.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, buddy.
No
great kidding. Stuff today. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, boys. I'm going to head into my kitchen and use my spatulas and my pressure cooker to cook.
Good man.
Wear rubber gloves so you don't electrocute yourself with those live wires. Right.
Get out of the show house.
All right, boys. Have a great weekend. Happy Thanksgiving, boys.
Yep, you too. There he is, Carlo right. Koliakovo. First up, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. with Landsberg and Koliakovo, Monday through Friday, right here on TSN Radio.
I meant to... Does Joe Sakic know it's free agency today?
You're just chilling out there.
Is there a...
I don't think they've made a move.
I was just going to say, has Colorado made a move? Is there a couple teams that have made zero moves today?
Not that I'm aware of.
The Islanders?
The Islanders have not done anything, I don't believe. You know, maybe a minor move. We'd have to look
Carolina,
over it.
Carolina? Like, there's a couple teams that have just gone dark. And I did
the
read...
Rangers, maybe?
Well, the Rangers got Jack Johnson.
Oh, yeah, one-year deal with Jack Johnson. Yeah.
But I think... I read a general manager's comments yesterday saying free agency, I know people think it always happens on that first day. This one's going to be spread out.
It's going to bleed, man. It's going to bleed because there's some Russian roulette going on, too, in terms of what the market is, what it's supposed to be. Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider, he will break down the biggest news of the week and what we can expect going into the weekend. We'll get all the updates on Petrangelo, Hall, et cetera. Pierre LeBrun will join us next. All right, TSN 1050 free agent frenzy coverage presented in part by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Fall back into adventure at your local Ontario Subaru dealer. Find your award-winning Subaru well-equipped for all seasons and enjoy rates from as low as 0.5%. Cowboys at home against the Giants this week. I think we're taking the Dallas Cowboys in our survivor pool.
Well, you have to.
I don't know.
Get your damn act together.
The Cowboys.
Yeah, but it's the Giants.
I understand that, but the Cowboys suck too, Noodles.
But don't the Giants play the Cowboys tough?
They play them very tough. Here's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. Can you make me feel good about that, Pierre? Dallas on Sunday against New York?
I don't think I can because the Cowboys' offensive line is disintegrating on top of it, and that was the only thing they had going was their offense. So. I don't know, man. Good luck. Although
that's a problem.
I don't think the Giants have beaten the Cowboys in quite a long time. Someone can Google it while we're on air, but I think the Cowboys have had quite a run against them.
Okay. That was always the impression with Eli. Somehow Eli was like this boogeyman in the NFC East for Dallas. I don't even know if it was accurate or not. But anyway, let's get to the news of the day. I mean, for us, Noodles and I have been talking about this Jakob Markstrom dance out west where he walks on Vancouver. Reportedly, Edmonton was in on him. He ends up in Calgary. That's a big get for the Flames. And then the domino effect is, what does Edmonton do now?
Pretty dramatic stuff. Yeah, you consider the rivalry between those three Western Canadian teams and this amazing goalie dancing the dance with all three and ending up in Calgary, where frankly, when the day began, was probably ranked number third in that derby. So absolutely fascinating. And the Oilers offered a 7-year deal at around a $5 million AAV. They had to try and woo him with term because their AAV was tight. And Calgary brought it up to 6x6, which gave him an extra $1 million in the totality and one less year. So, and the full no move, which of course was a stumbling block with Vancouver, for obvious reasons with the Seattle expansion draft and Thatcher Demko. But I also think, the Canucks had cap issues big time. And so that's a tough one. I mean, the Canucks were grinding it out all day yesterday trying to find a way to keep Jacob Markstrom. So they lose their MVP of the last 2 years, and they lose him to a divisional rival. It's that's a tough blow for Vancouver for sure.
Yeah, that's the one thing that hasn't really been pointed out. Like Markstrom, like a couple games for sure last year, single-handedly won them games because Vancouver's not a great defensive team. So you could almost take those wins if he plays the same way in Calgary and take them out of the win column for Vancouver and put them in Calgary. So that's you're actually potentially taking points off your division rival just by grabbing the goaltender. And that's the unique part. I still believe it's a soft landing for Vancouver because I think Holtby's got lots of game left, and Demko's still on the rise as a goaltender?
And also, Noodles, don't you think the one thing it does provide, I mean, Holtby struggled a bit this year. Let's not sugarcoat that. But
last
the
couple.
One thing it does, the one thing it provides is that if Demko can take off from what is two amazing playoff performances, that he's got more runway early to take the job. That he's not, like, if Markstrom had re-signed, how much of a chance does Demko really have early on to get as many starts as he needs if Markstrom's there for on a long-term deal? So in some ways, this is better in terms of allowing Demko to become Demko, but at the same time, there's less guarantees associated with that. And hey, you mentioned Edmonton. I mean they're in a tougher spot of all here for sure, because they went hard at Markstrom. I think they had some interest in Holtby. That didn't work either. That interest in Hudobin, who went back to Dallas. I'm told they've chatted with Corey Crawford and Thomas Greiss's people. Those two guys are still in the market, but they will not pay what those camps are looking at right now. So they're in a bit of a holding pattern. I think they'll get a goalie in the next 24 to 48 hours, but they need the price to come down on some of these options. The other option, as I mentioned today on the show, is that I know that Edmonton's had some trade chatter with Carolina on Peter Mrazek, whom Ken Holland had in Detroit, but that's a last resort. I think they'd rather go out and sign a goalie. In the meantime, Edmonton remains in the mix for Tyson Barrie along with three or four other teams. So there's a few things that Edmonton is juggling, and they only basically have $7.5 million in cap room to try and get a goalie and a defenseman.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, that is not going to be easy to maneuver when you consider the lack of flexibility. And I think that's a segue into the scenario here in this town with Toronto, mm-hmm. where they signed Wayne Simmons 1 year, 1.5. I think that's a very economically sound contract. And he was offered more in Montreal and maybe elsewhere. But where are you at with the Leafs here, Pierre, in terms of what else they could be doing? Other tires being kicked. We know they've admitted to talking to Pietrangelo, or his people anyway. That would be big game hunting, man. How do you see that playing out?
By the way, let's not just skirt over that. Cal Dubas could have easily said, I'm not going to get into the people we're talking to, which is the norm. But he actually hit that head on, that he was talking to Pietrangelo's people. Don't you think that's interesting?
Yeah.
I think that's an overture to Alex Pietrangelo, getting Leaf fans excited and wanting Pietrangelo to see the reaction on social media from Leaf fans. I really believe that. I mean, I think Kyle Dubas is smart that way.
Do you, sorry to interrupt, but I just, do you think that's positive or negative? Because that could have an effect.
The insanity of Joe from the Bridge tweeting at him
every
5 minutes.
I'm just saying, it's not like this lifestyle's not for everyone. I don't know Alex personally. We should have asked Carlo that, because Carlo's very close. Like, is he a private guy? Is he a guy that's not shy to be on a big stage and in a big market like that? That's something he does have to weigh,
right?
You know, in signing, because it'll be a massive signing and a massive deal. And we saw the reaction with Tavares.
It'll be close to that reaction.
Right.
Right. I think that he can handle it now, is my understanding. I don't know that he would have been ready for it 5 years ago. I think the maturity as a captain in this league, as a Stanley Cup champion, has him ready for the challenge of playing here. But I will tell you right now that if I had to handicap the race right now, I think Vegas is ahead of Toronto, and that's just more of a gut feeling. But I think Vegas is really aggressive, as we had predicted on the Petro hunt. I think they feel that that's the one piece missing for them to win a cup. And so I think they're going to do all they can to sign him. But again, let's not rule out it. I don't know what Carl said when he was on. Let's not rule out St. Louis ended up bringing him back. That's still on the table. You know, it's odd to see a guy of this magnitude go to market and then come back to his team, but we saw it with Stamkos. And, you know, Stamkos was able to use the UFA speaking period back in 2016, which no longer exists. I mean, had we had a UFA speaking period, then Pietrangelo would have been able to do all this all week long with a bit more privacy and then make his decision on the opening of free agency. But you know, in this case, he has to make it in real time. And the one thing I will tell you is I'm told that he has said to people around him today, I'm not rushing through this. So if this takes all weekend, it takes all weekend. He wants to continue to hear from teams. And by the way, other teams have reached out, not just Vegas and Toronto.
Well, trying to interpret the comments of Kyle Dubas, I think your interpretation is an intriguing one. You know, get the marketplace riled up, let him know that obviously everyone wants him here, although I'm sure he would be aware of that, but when it becomes that much more in your face, that might lead to a positive reaction in favor of the Maple Leafs. I think the flip side of it could be sending out a message to the other teams in the league or the other free agents that they might be talking to. You know, let's say using Chris Tanev as an example, right? Who's the right shot.
And I do think the Leafs have talked to his camp.
Okay, so, and that might be to Tanev's camp. Hey, you better go ahead and take that deal we just offered you.
Yeah.
Because we're also looking at Petro. And guess what? If we get him, we don't answer your call again. Right?
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't thought of that side of it, yeah.
Because you got to think they're kicking tires on. They have to have multiple options. I mean, every team has different irons in the fire, right?
No question. And in fact, you know, some of the guys getting caught in the Petrangelo wake right now, as one agent referred to it to me, are not just defense, but even forwards. Like, Petrangelo's decision is so big on the marketplace for all kinds of reasons. I mean, like, if he goes to St. Louis, the Blues actually have to move money out. They have to make some trades. If he goes to Vegas, Vegas has to move more money out, even after trading Paul Stastny. If he goes to the Leafs have to move more money. Like, this is having repercussions on all kinds of levels, so people need to know what is going on with Petrangelo. But on a micro level, you know, I know of, for example, I'll be careful here. I was about to blurt out something that I wasn't. Okay, I know of a defenseman that is directly affected, that if, you know, there's a team in on Petrangelo, and if they get him or don't get him, it affects this guy specifically. That conversation happened today. You know what I mean? So, So all this is sort of, you know, the whole market is kind of paralyzed right now by that. I mean, look at Torrey Krug. We haven't even mentioned him. But the guy, you know, here's this amazing power play quarterback, and some of the teams talking to Petrangelo are also circling on Krug, but they want one thing to figure out for the other. Now, it could be that Krug ends up signing before Petrangelo, but I'm just saying that's another example as well.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that being the case. And with Krug, you know, it sounds like he's looking for money more than fit, potentially anyway. I mean, I think he's gone public about that he feels like he needs to get paid, or he should get paid. And then there's Taylor Hall, who's not affected by the defensive wake, but another guy who's been available for a while. They were trying to trade the rights to him in Arizona. I would think he's aware of who's kicking tires on him, but it's just a matter of where he wants to go and how much money he's looking for at this point.
Yeah, and Brian, it's more than kicking tires. I mean, Taylor Hall has been on Zoom calls with teams today, like going through the pitches with his agent, Darren Ferris, really methodical. And some teams that have tried to get in on Hall have just been told, you know, we can't listen to half the league. We have to focus on the teams that we want to hear from. So that's interesting. And Taylor Hall also, you know, will he decide tonight? Maybe, but it could also go to Saturday, Sunday with him. And that is having an effect on UFA forwards. I mean, Mike Hoffman actually is the highest scoring goal scorer among UFA forwards. I'm not saying he's Taylor Hall, of course not, but some teams I know that are in on Mike Hoffman are also in on Taylor Hall. So the whole domino effect. So it's fascinating, and I said this during the show today, but I think now the league and the PA, I wonder if they don't talk again about eliminating the UFA speaking period, whether that was a wise idea. Because part of today is to have fireworks and a show and all these things, and I don't know how great it is for the league. And this reminds me of 2013 when Ryan Suter and Zach Parise didn't sign until July 4th, 3 days into free agency. The two marquee free agents needed that time to go through all their options. And by the time they sign, it's a U.S. national holiday and there's no TV show on. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I don't know if, you know, I mean, 2020 is a gong show anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But I mean, going forward, when the two sides reconvene on free agency, I wonder how they want this handled.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, this is almost taking a page out of the NBA's book, where the NBA lets it breathe, and you got to wait for days and days and days. But up here, it really is a celebration on July 1st. Let's get the news out.
Yeah.
Like, Tavares signed on, like, 1 o'clock on July 1st, right? He didn't wait 2 or 3 days. He made the announcement. It made for great TV, which is what we're interested in.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what the reaction is. Great stuff all day, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Right on, right on. Yeah, I think we'll have more to talk about over the coming week or two. So, sounds good, boys.
I look forward to it. There he is, Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. Yeah. Zoom, even Zoom calls
That's for a free thing, agency like, decision.
I don't know.
It has to happen in 2020, but...
It does, but I don't know. It would be tougher to make your decision, especially if you have no history. Say you are intrigued, if you're Pietrangelo and you're interested in Vegas, legitimately. You look at the team, you look at the... Your wife's like, I don't know where we're going to live. I have no idea. Like, you've got kids. What's the school going to look like? You can't have somebody on a Zoom call go, well, it's really nice.
Yeah, we'll drive you by the school.
Here's a FaceTime. Here's what the school looks like. Sometimes it takes these. And that 5-day period where guys are flying in and out, they're narrowing their search down. I can see this dragging out. I could see Taylor Hall signing on Tuesday.
Yeah, me too.
I hope for Petro's sake and the rest of the league that are, seem to be paralyzed by some of these deals that they speed it up, but they have to do their due diligence too.
Yeah, they do, but that's why I wonder about that interpretation of a Dubas comment where he's publicly acknowledging having a chat with Pietrangelo's group, which is not generally the way the Leafs operate.
No.
Like usually, like it's not that Dubas is disingenuous or lies to people. He doesn't. He is generally honest, but they are not ones to generally give up state secrets. Even if it's been reported, they usually take the book of Lou Lamoriello that is carried over with Dubas that we're not really going to get into what we're doing behind the scenes. Yeah, and he was willing to do that. And that's why, I think my theory might hold some weight, that they don't really think they're going to get him. But they want to get someone else. So or they want to make a trade, and they want that other team to realize, okay, like, this is the deal, but if
we've
Petro
got money
calls
on the
us,
table for this guy, but guess what? And if he signs that other deal...
That deal's done, man.
Yeah,
that would make sense. That's politic, and that's the way it should be.
It does, and it's playing the game. But that's, the concern about playing the game is sometimes you get caught playing the game and you're the one left out, like whether that's Edmonton or Vancouver in the Markstrom scenario.
Right.
Vancouver seemed to be proactive. Yeah, Markstrom's not coming here. Okay, Holtby, you're in. Soft landing, move on. Edmonton, went hard at it, did what they could, but Calgary gets Markstrom. There's a couple teams in on Pietrangelo. Like, is Boston out? I don't know if they've been told.
I could see them
out.
Being behind the scenes. Right, I could definitely see them lurking.
Right. Like, maybe he at the end, his wife goes, let's stay here. We get a good gig. He wants to stay. Him and Doug Armstrong have a chat. Like, there's so many different scenarios. But I still come back to, after looking at all these deals, I still don't have a definitive marketplace in my mind for certain players.
No, me neither.
Which usually we do.
Yeah,
we've got an idea of what a guy looks like, what he's going to get. This one is perplexing me because of the lack of information and the lack of term. And, it just doesn't have a rhyme or reason other than the fact that it's 2 years and take it. If not, we're moving on to the next guy.
Yeah, I think the power has shifted a little bit, where in the past it felt like free agents had a lot of the leverage and the power. And if you wanted them, you got to give them the 6 or 7 year deal. And now it feels like it's flipped.
Right.
And
right.
It's management who's like, hey, if you want anything, you better take a 2 year deal.
Right.
Or
right.
a 3 year deal. And I think the market is trying to adjust to that. And I'm not sure it's going to happen in 6 hours and 45 minutes. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Tee up the weekend. We are here on Monday as well. TSN Radio is on all day throughout Thanksgiving Monday. And we'll wrap up what was a busy afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NFL board this weekend, looking at the point spreads. I think Washington with a quarterback change covers a big number against the Rams. I like the Rams, but they're going back across the country. I think Washington will cover the 8. I like Vegas to cover a big number against Kansas City as well. Kansas City has not been as good as people think, and I think it's such a massive number. I'll take the points, and I think Houston gets a win. Bill O'Brien's out of there. I think they beat up on Jacksonville. Throw down 20. You can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. ProLine, put your knowledge on the line. Last year, July 1st, at about 7 o'clock, that Kadri for Barry and Kerfoot deal went down.
Yeah.
Sounds like the Leafs have signed TJ Brody, and it's 6:54 and 55 seconds.
So, well, we'll be breaking it down on Monday.
Yeah, we will be. It looks like a multi-year deal. I thought about 4.5 a year. You think maybe 5 a year, give or take. But we'll find out soon. Our insiders will have it. It'll be out there.
And we'll break it down because you're here on Monday.
I'll be here on Monday.
I'm here on Monday. I think Jonas Siegel might be in here on Monday.
Jonas is a Leaf apologist, so he will be.
Jonas is very happy about the Leafs moves today.
Yes,
very happy. Yep. So we're out of here. We will be on Monday. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy your weekends. We are back Monday at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
At Scarborough Nissan, the health and safety of the community and their employees is a top priority. With extra safety measures in place, Scarborough Nissan welcomes you to experience the Rediscover the Road sales event on now, where you can finance a 2020 Nissan Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or receive an up to $5,000 cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, driving satisfaction on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Avenue. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.